see you this evening at a lower angle. The reason for that is we were meant to be meeting next door, but because of the power outage, there's a bit of running around trying to get things ready. But it's nevertheless still wonderful to be with you all. It's wonderful to see all the children, all the babies as well. I see Leanne and Jade are sitting there by all the children, all the babies. So I don't know what that's saying about you, but it's wonderful to have all of you here. And here to focus on the subject of discipleship. And I do hope and trust that the Lord will use tonight, hopefully to grow us in our understanding of discipleship, in understanding what it means to be a disciple, and how we are to go and make disciples as the Lord Jesus has instructed us. Before we turn to song and to worshiping the Lord in that way, I do just want to point out some announcements that were already highlighted this morning, but certainly some announcements close to my heart. There is the Kids Fun Day on the 4th of July that is coming up. Really what that is meant to be, if you haven't heard too much about it, is meant to kind of be a way of reaching into the community, to put on the community groups to say, there's a Kids Fun Day, there'll be a jumping castle, various, you know, carnival games. But at the end of that day, there's going to be a play on Jonah. And through that play, obviously to teach about the book of Jonah, but also pointing to Christ, pointing to the gospel which saves. And then that will also be an opportunity to invite those kids that come that day to the Holiday Bible Club. So if you are, if your child here today, if you're not in high school, you should be excited because this is for you, but also to the parents as well. And anyone who would like to be involved in either that or the Holiday Club, please do let me know, or Sam, or someone else, and we can certainly get you plugged in, as there are, like, literally any way, there's some way to serve in that way. Otherwise, I do want to remind you, tomorrow night we have our prayer meeting online, taking place on Zoom, and so please, once again, do consider joining us for that, as it is a wonderful time to be together, praying with one another, praying for the church, or any matters that come across our path. We lift up together, and it is great to be able to pray corporately, as I think we can often become lethargic in our own praying, isn't it? But when we pray with one another, it's kind of maybe when you're just thinking, I'm getting tired, then somebody else starts praying, and then you keep going. And so I think it does strengthen us even in our own prayers. And then also, I just want to remind you that there will be the Bible studies kicking off again this week after our break last week because of the Ascension Day service, so please take note of that. And otherwise, everything else continuing as normal. Another announcement which will be in the bulletin next week is that on the 13th of July, of June, there will be an outreach taking place. And so if you're keen for that outreach, do just continue looking at the prayer chain, the announcements in the service, as more information will be communicated there. So those are just some announcements for this evening. And even as we're just thinking of our bulletin, I just wanted to, as we think of our tithes and our offerings tonight, express our gratitude to God for His faithfulness to the church. Certainly, if you look at the information given in the bulletin, one can see that the Lord has really provided these last few months for the church, financially speaking. And so we do thank God for His provision for the church. Even in perhaps uncertain economic times, we see God faithful. We see Him providing. And so we also, certainly, I'm sure we can speak, I can speak on behalf of the leadership of the church, that we're grateful to God's people who do faithfully give to the work of the Lord. And let us be sure that God will use this for His glory. It's not just so we meet, make the budget. It is for His glory ultimately. And so we do thank God for His faithful provision to the church financially and to His people as well. And on that note, let us turn to the Lord in prayer before we sing our first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we can come together this evening, an evening where we are looking at a more topical discussion around discipleship. And we do pray that You would bless this evening, that it would edify us, grow us, Lord, as disciples of Christ, that we would be better disciple makers ourselves as well, Lord, we also pray that even our fellowship after this time may be sweet, may be blessed by you as we dine with one another, Lord. Would we grow in our love for each other? Would we be able to have useful, edifying conversations that stir us up in our faith to serve you and to walk with you? And so we pray that even there, Lord, when we eat together, that you would meet with us and bless that time together. Lord, now would you help us to worship you in song as we sing to you, as we confess our faith, what we believe about Christ. Would this certainly stir up our hearts to know that this is the Lord Jesus we serve and love and worship? And also, Lord, would you help us to, Lord, would you help us even to hear the word and respond to it in faith and love and also in obedience, Lord? So be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you probably have your song sheet, and if you do have your song sheet, please turn to number 14, which is In Christ Alone. And so let us sing In Christ Alone together. Subject that we've all heard of before. Certainly in my experience, discipleship can either be overemphasized to the point where it becomes the be-all and end-all of the church. So if discipleship is not mentioned in a service, on that particular Sunday, it's not a church service, which I think is perhaps going too far to one extreme. But perhaps, and more frequently, it lies very much neglected. Maybe not neglected as a truth that a church believes or confesses, but neglected by way of a practice in the church. I think it is something that we certainly can all acknowledge. It has at times been neglected, even in our own lives. We can think of maybe a showpiece that one has at home, maybe from when you went on tour somewhere here or there, or a gift from somebody, and it's sitting there in your display cabinet, and you know, we think it's important, we tell other people it's important, but we never think about it until somebody asks us about it. Right? That's how important it is to us. Right? We all have those things that we love that sit there, but you know, it doesn't really play much of a part in our day-to-day life. And that's fine for a showpiece, but it mustn't be that way with discipleship. And so we need to, and my hope today is that as we think about discipleship and what it is and why it's important, that we would grow both in our own walk as disciples of Christ, but also our own ability to be disciples of others. Well then, to begin, I want to answer the question, what is discipleship? And maybe before we answer what is discipleship, we need to answer what is a disciple? And open the floor. What do you understand a disciple to be? And anyone can answer, it's not rhetorical, this one. A follower of Christ, okay? I said just a disciple, not of Christ, but yes, a follower of Christ. That's correct. Yes, yes.
Somebody who seeks to imitate the person they follow.
Okay, so there's imitation. I think that's, I like that. So following, imitating. Let's continue there. I'm looking for maybe a word or two. Anyone? Yes, Luke. A student. Okay, I think that's kind of reaching where I'm thinking. A disciple literally means to be a pupil or learner. Okay, so when we say that, if somebody says they're a disciple of Christ, they're saying they're a pupil of Christ. And so naturally, to be a disciple means that one is a student in a student relationship, which implies certain things. It implies that they are not all-knowing, that they have things to grow in, things to learn from another. And so Christians are called disciples in the New Testament, learners or pupils, students who are learning from Christ. And so naturally, I think we don't have to prove this. If one is a disciple of Christ, that means that you are being taught by Jesus. Right? He is the teacher, you are the pupil. That is what a disciple is. Certainly a disciple of Christ is to be a learner from Christ. To be a disciple, maybe just thinking of Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 21, it means to be part of his school, as it were, in which we're in the school of Christ, and the curriculum is Christ himself, and the school teacher is Christ. Christ as well. It says here, but that is not the way you learned Christ. There's the curriculum, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So he's both the teacher and the curriculum. He's the subject matter for the disciple. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been taught by Christ about Christ. I hope that that makes some sense to you. So if we want to put it in other words, to be a disciple of Jesus is to be one committed to learning from, with, and about Jesus. And so a disciple is one on a continual journey of learning the ways and teachings of Christ to the ultimate end that they may be conformed to the image of Christ, to the glory of God. Maybe just coming at it from a different angle. When we look at this command in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It's interesting, maybe it's some semantics to us, but the imperative in that sentence is not to go, but it is to make disciples. The emphasis in that text is upon making disciples, not on going per se. While we do need to be going, and that is certainly an emphasis, but the emphasis is more upon making a disciple as one is going on his way. Right? It's not, you don't go and then say, "I'm going to make disciples." Right? You are making disciples as you are going about your business, about your life. We certainly see that in the church when this persecution arises and they leave because they're forced to leave for fear of persecution, and they go about making disciples on their way, which is what they're already doing in Jerusalem, making disciples. It's not only now that they had this specially endowed task to make disciples. It was part of their life and will continue to be a part of their life. It is not just a specific moment for specific people who have been called specifically to go, but it is for every Christian believer. I think that's important for us to note as well. Well, this word for discipleship, to disciple, it means to instruct or to teach someone. And it can be used in both an active and passive sense. An active and passive sense. Maybe just to use an illustration, if I say, "I kicked the ball," that is the active tense, because I am the one doing this action. But then we could say the ball was kicked. The ball didn't perform the action. It was passive. Something happened to it. Now, when I say that discipleship, being a disciple, it can also be a passive thing. Or it has a passive element to it. Something that is done to us rather than done by us. Well, what do you think I'm alluding to here? Who is a disciple of Christ? How does one become a disciple of Christ? Well, it is what God does to us. God makes disciples of people. He makes disciples. Even just if you look over at chapter 27, verse 57, it speaks of Joseph of Arimathea, right? Who also was a disciple of Jesus. And that's used in the passive sense there. It's not just a noun describing who he was or an adjective, but it's describing that he was somebody who was made a disciple of Jesus. So God had worked in his life. God had performed a work in his heart in order to make him a disciple. We don't just wake up one day and decide we want to be a disciple, but God, when he saves a person of their sin, when he delivers them from their slavery to this world, he makes them now into a disciple by his grace. Before God does that work in us, we can't follow Christ. We can't learn from Christ. In fact, before one is saved, I'm sure you can attest that you didn't have an interest in the Word, did you? You didn't have any interest in Christ. You had no desire to know him, no desire to be like him. And so you were not a disciple at that point. Even if you were raised in a Christian home, even if you were being taught certain things, you couldn't personally say that I'm following Christ. I'm a student of Christ. I'm learning from him and learning how to be like him. And so that's why, in the subject of discipleship, well, what is discipleship? There's two important components to discipleship. And the first is that becoming a disciple. Right? When Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," he's not instructing them to go and make classrooms and sit everybody down in a classroom and start making students of people. No. There is necessarily the aspect of conversion that must first take place in this. He is not ignoring that the gospel needs to be taught. Certainly, if you look at Acts 14, verse 21, Acts 14, verse 21 describes what Paul and Barnabas did in their first missionary journey early on as they were sent off. It says that, let me read from verse 19, Acts 14, verse 19, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the crowds, and they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe." When they had preached the gospel, and notice, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And so take note of that. There was the preaching of the gospel, which resulted in many disciples being made. And so the first aspect to discipleship is the preaching of the gospel. For it is only when one is converted, when one believes the gospel, when one's heart has been changed by the Holy Spirit, that one can enter into the school of Christ. Until that moment, one is separated from Christ, has no knowledge of Christ, no love for Christ. But when one's sins are forgiven, when they're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they are now enabled by God to live this life of discipleship. And so I think we must stress, even in this, that salvation does not depend upon discipleship. You note that. So your salvation does not rest upon the quality of your discipleship, your quality of your pupilship of Christ. That's not how we are. That is not what discipleship is. Salvation occurs prior to discipleship, and salvation produces discipleship. And so it is by the grace of God alone, through faith, that we are saved. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Discipleship is now this new life that one lives, having already been saved by Christ. It is the life of following after the Savior, seeking to honor Him, serve Him, worship Him in the power of the Holy Spirit as a new creation, being recreated into His image day by day. So we do need to note that. So discipleship, there's this entrance into discipleship that happens at the moment of conversion. And so what we also need to note there is that every single person that has been saved by Christ is then a disciple of Christ. It's not something you opt in or opt out, right? It's not as though it's an optional module in your life as a Christian. This is a compulsory module, right? There's no way around it. And so we do need to note that, because tonight you are a disciple of Christ. You are a pupil of Christ. You are meant to be learning from Him, being taught by Him. You are meant to be knowing Him personally and intimately. Think of the 12 disciples in Jesus' day who walked with Him, who lived with Him, who literally did all of their life, all of their ministry with Him, so that they might learn from Him and so be useful to Him. That is the second aspect of discipleship. It is that continuing process of walking with Christ as a believer. And that perhaps comes to the second aspect of discipleship. As I've mentioned, the second aspect of discipleship is, which is more the active sense of discipleship. When Jesus commanded the disciples to go and make disciples, it was the active tense. They were to go out and to preach the gospel, and so actively be busy about making followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to even our life of following Christ, it is an active process. We don't passively sit upon the couch waiting for something to happen in our life. No, we are set free from our sin. We are equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are now enabled to walk a life with Christ. Now, this is a wonderful blessing that the gospel works in us, is that now we can live a life for God, which previously we were unable to do. This should change perhaps the way that we think of ourselves as Christians. As was brought to my attention a couple months ago at a conference, Pastor Charles de Kivet highlighted, and maybe I'll ask the question, does anyone know how many times Christians are called Christians in the Bible? No one who is there is allowed to answer that. Yes. I believe it's three times. I believe it's three times, but well, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think either way, two or three times in the whole of the New Testament, in the whole of the Bible, it shows it wasn't a very common usage of the word. But now if you go toward a disciple or disciples, if you look for that word in your Bible, you'll have over 200 occurrences. And so it was more common to be known as a disciple of Christ. Now, I don't want to strain out gnats while we swallow camels. It's not to be a big issue which term you prefer to describe yourself. I don't think that's the point. But I think certainly the term disciple, it's pointing to this fact that there's this continuous walking and pursuit of Christ. That there's this continual relationship of learning about Christ, drawing closer to Him, following His word, following His ways, that we ought to maintain as part of our faith. And we ought not to, so often the label Christian is just put out there, and as Charles de Kivet made the point, so often it's such a watered-down meaning that it almost means nothing today. It means some sort of religious affiliation to some sort of vague religion of Christianity. But when we speak of a disciple of Christ, we are talking about one who has become a follower of Christ upon conversion, and from that moment onward, having the goal of their life to follow and to live for Christ. I think we can say that that's what we understand when we hear of a disciple, this purposeful learning and following from the master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what discipleship is. It is this learning about Christ. It is this following after Christ. It is, and perhaps if we get to the goal of discipleship, which is my next point, then we will see more clearly what it entails. What is the purpose of discipleship? And let's not jump to the final purpose, which is the glory of God. There's an intermediate purpose that leads to the glory of God. What is that purpose? What does God want to accomplish by making disciples of you and I? Transform us into the image of Christ. That's exactly the answer I'm looking for. And why? Why? Why does God want you to be like Christ? Okay, to the honor and glory of His name, because Christ pleased Him. And I think maybe that's where we should hone in for a moment. Jesus Christ, and we defend and we ought to be willing to die for this fact, was God manifest in the flesh. We must not reduce that. We must not ever compromise on that fact. We must also know that He was truly man. And He was the perfect man. He was the fulfillment of all that man was supposed to be. The task given to Adam that he failed to do, the Lord Jesus Christ perfected in His life. And so Jesus Christ, in His humanity, fulfilled all that man ought to and should have been, and so perfectly pleased God as a man. Okay? Not denying His divinity, no, certainly not. But in His humanity, He pleased God. The way that He dealt with sinners pleased God. The way that He dealt with the religious Pharisees pleased God. The way that He was kind and gentle pleased God. The way that He loved His neighbor as Himself pleased God. The way that He served His heavenly Father pleased God. So what am I getting at? The Lord Jesus Christ is now the one into whose image we are being recreated. We were made in whose image? The image of God. We know this. That image, while it is still there within us and we are still made in His image, it is nevertheless a corrupted and distorted image. You think of a mirror that has been thrown upon the floor, once presenting a clear image of the person in the mirror. Now upon that floor, it's distorted, and one cannot quite see exactly what one's face looks like, and it might be unhelpful for seeing whether one's makeup is looking good, whether their hair is put right. And so to man, who was meant to reflect the image of God, it's as though through sin has been shattered upon the floor, and now is a very, very improper reflection of the glory of God, a very broken display of who he is. And so now, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is presented as the one into whose image we are being made. The Lord Jesus Christ is that now, it being both God and man, who perfectly reflected who we are to be, is the one into whose image we are being conformed. We know this, Romans 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And then once again, emphasizing his humanity. I cannot be conformed to the Son of God according to his divinity. I can't perform the works he did. I can't be omniscient. I can't be all-knowing. I can't be all-powerful. I can't do these things. But I can be conformed more and more day by day into his likeness according to his humanity. And so, being a disciple of Christ is looking at the God-man, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the life that he lived, looking at the way that he conducted himself, looking at the decisions he made, looking at how he loved his heavenly Father, and looking at how he loved his neighbor, and learning how to be that. Because that's what God wants for us, is to be conformed to his image. He is the image that we are now to reflect. He is God, and so now we are to be conformed to the image of his Son, who came and showed us how that looked like here upon earth. And so day by day, as we are living life, we are to look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity here upon earth. And so that now gives us perhaps, just highlighting this goal, now perhaps shows us, well, how ought discipleship to be done? If being a disciple is being a pupil, which begins, which necessarily needs conversion to happen in the first place, and then secondly, it continues from the point of conversion until our death, well, how ought discipleship to be done? And maybe that's an open floor question. Is there one particular mold given to us, or is discipleship multifaceted? What does discipleship look like on a practical day-to-day basis? Yes. Right. So yeah. So a student has to be humble in the sense of, you know, any student thinks that they know it all. So we're constantly going to be fighting and pushing back against the teacher and thinking, I've got the answers. So there needs to be a humble, dependent heart which causes us to look to God for help, that causes us to see that we aren't yet where we ought to be. So there needs to be that realization. What else? How can you be a student of Christ? Luke, you almost raised your hand. Right? Wanting to take in as much as possible about the Word. And I think that's hitting on a very important point. All of Scripture is pointing to Christ. And so the more we have of Scripture, the more we will be conformed to His image. Right? The more I know about it, the more it is working in me, the more that I'm studying the Scripture, the more I will know about who Jesus is, and so the more I'm able to be conformed to His image. If you know nothing about a person, you can't be changed and conform to that image, because you don't know who they are, right? And so we need to see the Lord Jesus through the pages of Scripture day by day, conscious of this fact that I need to become like him. And so where is Christ in the text? How can I be more like him? Obviously, again, as I've mentioned, we can't be like him in his divinity, in his messiahship. We're not called to be that, certainly. But we are called to reflect his perfect humanity even in our own lives. And so there's humility, there's the study of God's word, which is essential. What else? Yes. Okay. Communion with him and with his people. Expand on the second part there, Josh. Yeah, and yeah, until it's out. Yeah, no, certainly. And the church as a whole collectively has been, you know, sanctified, washed, made fit for, you know, for the bride, for the bridegroom. And so the whole church is being conformed to Christ, right, to reflect who he is. And so, and we individually as members of it are being conformed to who he is. And so at times, you know, it's easy to read scriptural principles and see it there, but sometimes it doesn't really stick or land with us until we see it in another person. You know, perhaps we, you know, you've read something and maybe it didn't really stand out, but then you see it taking place in another person. Or maybe somebody else has been taught something by Christ that you are yet to learn, and so they've got something that they can pass on to you and you to them. And that's how we can mutually exhort one another, mutually admonish each other in our faith, is that we are all in this school. We are all these mutual pupils. And so in one sense, you know how you exchange notes with your fellow classmates? Hopefully not cheating, but you can't cheat in this school. There's no way to cheat here. But how we ought to be working together, exchanging notes, and that's, you know, a crude way of putting it. But we are able to encourage each other because we are all on this journey of discipleship, and so we are able to help and impart, help and encourage one another along this journey. And even on that point, maybe if we just apply it, you know, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And there, not a proudful statement. He's not trying to you know, prop himself up as one who's got it all together. But nevertheless, he's able to say that he's grown, he's mature, he's been a disciple for many years, and so he has something to impart to those who would follow him. And so he is able to say to others, "Hey, look at my example. Consider the way of my life. Consider how I have conducted myself, and try emulate that in your life. Not that I do it perfectly, but yet it is real. It is there. It is present within me as I am following Christ." And so that's one way in which you can do it. And so how ought discipleship to be done? And so the first point is that we ourselves ought to be disciples of Christ. If you're not a disciple, you can't make disciples of others. You think of Paul and Barnabas. You know, Paul had been converted. He'd been set apart. He'd spent many years away from the ministry, but then entering into the ministry. And then the Holy Spirit calls him and says, you know, "Set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them to do." And then they're commissioned. And it is on this missionary work that they make disciples of all nations. So it is important that we ourselves are growing disciples of Christ, that we ourselves are drawing near to the Lord Jesus, that we ourselves are day by day being enthralled with who he is, that we ourselves are growing in a love for him and a desire to serve him and worship him in our lives. If we are not doing this, then we cannot disciple others. It would be very hard for us to disciple others. While we still reflect more of the world than of Christ, what is anyone to learn from you? And so that's a challenge there for us. But then secondly, how ought discipleship to be done? Firstly, it's us personally following the Lord Jesus, but then it is us entering into intentional discipleship relationships with others. And maybe just to illustrate that, you think of 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. It mentions here, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And he says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so look at the multiplication that's happening. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy is going to teach other men, and those men are going to teach even others. And so there's this multiplication that is happening in Timothy, in the church there, and even in Paul as he made disciples of others. And notice that it's intentional. Paul's telling him, you know, entrust this to others. It doesn't just happen randomly. And so how ought discipleship to be done? Well, entering into intentional discipleship relationships with others. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever discipled another person? perhaps taking a younger brother or sister under one's wing and walking a road with them, perhaps through certain trials or just generally teaching them the nature of who the Lord is and who they are in the Lord and how they are to live their lives. Have you entered into an intentional relationship like that? And I certainly have reaped the benefit of this. I think I've mentioned this before. I was discipled for just over a year by a wonderful brother who really taught me the basics of how to be a Christian. I was saved at that point, but I think I was kind of just wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years at that point. But he came along and really clarified for me what it is to be a Christian. What should I be working on? How do I study the Bible? How do I pray? How can I be useful to the Lord? How can I understand what God is calling me to do in my life? And that really, I think, set me on a firm foundation upon which I've really springboarded the rest of my Christian walk. And so I think the question here for us is are we neglecting opportunities to make disciples, of both unbelievers and also to disciple believers? These relationships don't have to be in a classroom setting. They can be done over a cup of coffee. It can be done weekly at one's home. It can be done on a monthly basis. But are we being intentional in our discipleship? Also, as the church, we know that we've been called to make disciples of all nations. We must ask ourselves, do we make use of the relationships that we have as we are going to share the gospel of Christ with others? Again, maybe one will not be standing with a loudspeaker at the street corner preaching. That's good and well if you have been called to do that. But perhaps for many of us, it will be the quiet chat at lunchtime with another colleague or with a family member who has wandered away from the Lord, and to use those opportunities just to speak about the Lord. Many a time I try to have a conversation with people and I don't get very far. Maybe after a few minutes they either lose interest or there's some sort of excuse as to why they want to leave. And what I've found recently is coughing fits. Each time I try to share the gospel, somebody has a coughing fit all of a sudden. I don't know what it is, but certainly there's resistance to it. But do we make use of these opportunities? Are we intentional? I think the comfort is if we are trying to make disciples of others, we know that it is ultimately God who makes disciples. He converts the soul. He saves a person. And so the duty is for us is to share the gospel and to know that the Lord will make the disciples ultimately. And then secondly, within the church, inter-Christian relationships, how ought discipleship to be done? Well, intentionally reaching out to others. Though you are an imperfect disciple, but walking a road with that person on a committed basis, from both sides, there has to be commitment from both sides, and seeking to impart what little you have to them, and using it as an opportunity for you to grow in your own faith. Once you have to explain the Trinity to another person, well, you're going to have to study what the Trinity is, right? And so there's opportunities for growth yourself. So how ought discipleship to be done? Well, it ought to be done intentionally, both to unbelievers and believers, seeking to build them up in their faith, and with the ultimate goal that both we and others, so me and this person and these brothers and sisters in front of me, might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal in discipleship. We want to be like Him. We want to be more holy, more loving, more sincere, more gentle, more kind. Think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, who emulated that? Who is the striking image of that? It is Christ. And that's what we are being conformed to day by day as disciples of Christ. From my side, I'm done, but maybe we can just give a couple minutes either for comments or questions. Seeing as this is a different setting, it allows us to maybe interact a bit more. I'll open the floor to anyone who would like to add or ask anything. Yeah. Yes, yeah. No, certainly, because if you say, oh, through my lifestyle, they'll see that I'm a Christian, all that you're then imposing on them is a works-based salvation, because they're like, oh, wow, that's such a good person. Let me be like them, which they can't do, right, if they're in their sin. And so, yeah, that's not the gospel. The gospel produces works, but my good life, which isn't so good after all, isn't, they ought to align, right? They ought to, you know, if I say I'm a disciple of Christ, there ought to be something of Christ in me, right? I ought to somewhat reflect him, not perfectly, because if there's nothing of Christ in me, then it's like, well, you're not really a good student, are you, if you're a student at all? But the way into discipleship is firstly by being saved, and so that's what needs to be taught as well. Yeah. Yeah, I'd firstly begin with, I think that perhaps an honest but hard conversation. It's this thing of, are you committed? And it's not just to me. Obviously you aren't Christ, you're not speaking for Christ, but are you serious about your walk of faith? And to just be honest about that, because if one is dodging and I forgot, or I didn't do my homework this week, it shows there's probably other spiritual issues beyond just I didn't want to meet this week. So I think it's having those honest conversations and just, you know, really just being clear. Like and so I think when you start discipleship, you should almost have a contract. You know, I'm going to do my part. You better do your part. Give them a week to think about it. If they, you know, if they say yes, well then, You said. And you can follow up with them a few times, but if there's still no change, I'd say, in one sense, you've done your part. And so I don't think you should, as much as you might, it saddens you, but I think you should be able to have a clear conscience to say, if this person really is unresponsive, then that's between them and the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe one other point is to have a set parameter of time. When this other brother discipled me, what he said is, I'm going to disciple you until this date, and when I'm finished discipling you, the day after you start looking for who you're going to disciple. So, and so in one sense, it was this thing of, it's a short period. I know when it ends. And I think that's also helpful. Some relationships, I think, go over many years. But I think in this case, it was helpful to be like, okay, this is, you know, this defined period in which I have to live out, in which I'm learning from him. It has an end. I think sometimes if there's no end in sight, people kind of lose focus. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think that's why how ought discipleship to be done. I haven't given a, you know, it isn't do this, do that. I think it's intentionality. And, you know, even if it's ad hoc, it's still intentional. And I think that's what's required is that we're thinking about it, you know. As a parent, how am I going to teach my child? Am I going to work through this catechism? Am I going to read through the Bible with them? Am I, you know, and to make use of the random opportunities that come. It's still intentional, even if it's random, because you need to have your mind set to it. Because if you don't have your mind set to it, it's not going to happen. Sorry, Lizelle. No, I think that's true. Yeah, there has to, again, I think it, discipleship is, you know, I can't just become like Christ up here and it not affect all my being. And I think that's important to note in that case, yeah. So it needs to have practical effects. And so I think that's also what I found, is give people homework. It doesn't sound nice, but tell them, next time I see you, have this ready for me. You know, it's it forces them to do things. And so, yes. And that's when real growth happens. Yeah, that's when real growth happens, because, you know, you're a student, you're learning, you're growing. It requires you to be committed to that and thoughtful and prayerful and all the, yeah. Yeah. There you go. No, I think that, yeah, that's a good point there. Yeah. Good. Well, I think maybe I'll close now in prayer, and I'll also just pray for the food. We'll be meeting next door now just for a light supper. So I hope we'll enjoy that and enjoy just some time together. And dear Father, thank you for making us disciples by your grace. Lord, we know that before you converted our hearts, that we were unable to follow you. We were unable to even begin to keep your law. But now, having been saved by the Lord Jesus and now being free to serve you, O God, we are now able to begin to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And we do pray, Father, that for each one of us, we would take this seriously as an individual pursuit, that we want to be like Christ. But then, Lord, also that we would be earnest in wanting unbelievers to come to know the Lord Jesus, that they too would be saved of their sins, that they too would be washed clean, that they too would know what it is to be a follower of Christ. And so, Lord, help us in whatever way, whatever means, whether it is joining a church outreach or whether it is the conversation we have with a friend here or there, whatever way, help us to be intentional about reaching the lost, Lord. Let us not be afraid. Let us not make excuses. Let us not be perpetually self-absorbed with ourselves so that we do not see the needs of the lost. But also, Lord, help us to be intentional in being disciples to one another, that we would be those who we see are struggling, those who we see need help, those who have those who are new in the faith, those who perhaps are nearing death's door, whatever it may be, Lord, that we would be intentional in reaching out on a consistent basis to walk with them, to point them to Christ, to read Scripture, to in all these ways be pointing them to what does the Lord Jesus have to say in this? What does Christ want from them? How are they to live out their faith in this circumstance? So help us in all these things, Lord, to honor you. And Lord, we pray that we would not neglect this important duty as both individuals or as the church. So help us both to be faithful disciples of Christ, making disciples as we go. I pray this in Jesus. And Lord, I also thank you for the food. I thank you, Lord, for those who have prepared the food. We do pray, bless the time we spent together there as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.